You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Word came down recently that Shell, the second largest oil company in the world, has announced it's going to link top executive bonuses to progress they make on managing greenhouse gas emissions. In other words, if they don't hit targets for reducing greenhouse gas emissions, they will get hit in the wallet. It's yet another example of business, in this case a mammoth oil company, recognizing its long-term survival depends on its ability to reduce the environmental impact of what it's producing. And Joe Arvai believes that will help to offset President-elect Trump's pledge to kill off President Obama's sustainability efforts. Joe Arvai is director of the Erb Institute for Global Sustainable Enterprise at the University of Michigan. Joe, it's always good to see you.
It's always good to see you. Thanks for having me back.
How would you describe your thoughts as you've heard the president-elect talk about climate change and environmental and sustainability challenges and who he's appointing as he's putting things together?
Well, I would be lying if I wasn't a little bit alarmed at what I'm seeing. I think the appointment that gives me the most concern is of Myron E. Bell as the person to lead the transition of the Environmental Protection Agency. This is a person who has come out as a skeptic of climate change, basically as a denier of the scientific consensus behind climate change. So that alarms me. But that said, I'm taking a glasses half full view here. I think that there are some firewalls out there, as you pointed out in your opening. I think big business and even small business is one of them. So I think that a lot of things have to happen to get out in front of this, but I think that we can work with this at least in the short term.
And that's your piece in theconversation.com, why Trump's vow to kill Obama's sustainability agenda will lead business to step in and save it. So let's talk about what you see happening in business, big ones like we said in Shell, but small ones as well. Why are you seeing this trend of money flowing where sustainability grows?
There's a couple of things that are happening, in my opinion. One is that companies don't like to work in fits and starts. They like to have clear agendas in front of them. They put plans in place. They set them in motion and they evaluate them over time. What we see when we see President-elect Trump coming in and talking about rolling back regulations, making it a little bit easier for business to maybe act in a manner that isn't 100% sustainable, businesses have been working for the last 8 years under President Obama, setting in motion an agenda that's responsive to things like the Clean Power Plan, that's responsive to changes in terms of our cultural values around sustainability, which began to emerge even before Obama took office. So to think that now business will sort of put on the brakes, put on the shelf all of the investments they've made, get into their time machine and go back to 2008, I think that's unrealistic. I don't think that's going to happen. And I think that's good for the environment. There are other factors as well. I mean, I think consumers are coming around to really demanding sustainability in terms of the products they consume, in terms of the foods they eat, in terms of the companies they support. Companies are in business to make profits, and when they see their consumers asking for something, I think that they also have to be cognizant of the fact that they have to respond in the future.
Is it just consumer-facing companies and ones dealing directly with people that are committing to sustainable practices, or are suppliers on board as well?
Suppliers are absolutely on board, and I think this is where the real untapped source of progress is. If you look, for example, at consumer-facing companies like General Motors, there's a demand there for sustainably made products and also products that are going to be sustainable over their lifespan. So what does GM do? They introduce the Chevy Bolt. They commit to radically increasing the portfolio of renewable energy that they're going to use to manufacture their products going forward. On that latter front, and actually on the former front too, when it comes to the Bolt, what goes into that car is going to have to come from suppliers of raw materials. The energy that goes into those plants to produce those vehicles is going to have to come from companies that are producing that energy in a sustainable way. So if we look right here in Michigan at a company like Consumers Energy, they're responding to expectations from companies like GM to produce more of their energy in a sustainable manner. We look at what's happening in Grand Rapids. The large data center Switch has agreed to move to Michigan, but the condition was that they wanted 100% of their energy to come from renewables. Someone in Michigan has to provide that. So once again, we see these behind the curtain suppliers responding to the needs of consumer-facing companies that are really moving sustainability forward.
What about labor? What kind of role might labor have?
You know, this is an interesting one. I think when we look at our typical blue-collar workforce, the people that really make the economic engine run, The demographic is very similar to what we see in the vote demographic. Mm-hmm. So in that area, I think that there are some people who really have strong sustainability passions, and others who don't. So there, I don't see a lot of movement on the labor front. Where I do see it is in people coming into management positions, people coming out of business schools like the Ross School of Business here at the University of Michigan. Increasingly, students who've got their undergraduates in a BBA type program or their MBAs. They're also becoming much more interested in sustainability and kind of overall well-being as part and parcel of kind of that portfolio of goods you get from your employer. So I see them increasingly voting with their feet and also in some respects with their wallets. There was a study out of Yale saying that people coming out of business schools are willing to accept lower salaries from companies mm-hmm. that they perceive as being more sustainable to the point that they're actually willing to turn down some of those positions. So if the most talented, brightest minds coming out of programs like ours are going to begin to behave that way, I think it behooves companies that still have some progress to make on the sustainability front to really put in motion plans that make sure that they remain competitive with labor.
But can business with the support of chunk of the consumers and can it do it all? I mean, doesn't government play an outsized role in all this?
Yes, you're absolutely right. This is a fantastic point. And this is the one that that I think we have to be very careful of. Mm-hmm. When I wrote the piece in The Conversation and when I've been talking about this with students and other people in the community, I talk about business as a bit of a firewall. But like any firewall, if the flame is sustained, if it gets really hot, sooner or later, that firewall is going to erode. Historically, what we see is the best progress on the sustainability front. And I'm not just talking here about things like the environment. I really do mean broad sustainability, the sort of three pillars of economic security, social security, and also environmental well-being. There, the best progress has been made when government, when regulation and business works hand in hand. And what concerns me here is the leadership shown by the Obama administration over the past 8 years might not be there with the Trump administration. And listen, this isn't a political point. This is really a fact. The President-elect Trump was elected on a platform where concerns of a broad swath of the population were geared towards the economy, were geared towards security, were geared towards borders. So I would be shocked to see a big pivot towards the environment. So there, if that leadership is missing, I begin to worry. I think CEOs begin to worry as well. I was in a meeting where I had a chance to speak with the CEOs of companies like Total Energy out of France, Renault, the car maker. And what they're telling me is that in order for them to go into their shareholder meetings and talk about the things they want to do on sustainability, it's suddenly a whole lot harder without leadership from government, because their bottom line in a lot of those meetings is to increase profits as best they can. So the trade-offs balance maybe more in the direction of profits over sustainability. When government can step in and can provide some additional incentives, whether it's a regulation or something in terms of a tax break, for example, it becomes an easier case for business to make. So I think in a perfect world, we'd be seeing some leadership from the government here. But as I wrote, time will tell. I don't know if that's going to happen. I sure hope it will, but I'm not terribly optimistic on the government leadership front at the moment.
Joe Arvai, Max McGraw, Professor of Sustainable Enterprise and Director of the Erb Institute for Global Sustainable Enterprise at the University of Michigan. Thank you so much for being with us, Joe.
Oh, I'm always happy to be here. Thanks for having me.